Radio friends, if you would turn with me this day to the Word of God in Psalm 43. I read Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. There are two reasons which make this little psalm of five verses very precious to us. The first is because it deals with the ultimate goal of life, God. Verse 4, then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. God, the true God, the glorious God, our God by grace. He is everything, and to know and to serve and to worship and to belong to him through Jesus Christ is exceeding joy. You can have the world and all that is in it, money, things, friends, power, booze, sex, but if you do not have God, the true God in Jesus Christ, you are dead. You are miserable and you are guilty. And you can have today trial, disease, setbacks, sorrows, troubles. But if you have him, then you live. You have exceeding joy. The psalm reminds us of Jesus' words when he said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Second reason why this psalm is so precious to us is that it gives us practical help when we feel distant from God and, in fact, we fear that we are being rejected of him. In verse 2, the psalmist says, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Why art thou cast down, he asks, O my soul? He is under the experience of oppression. He is under attack for his faith. He is enduring setbacks. He is in that situation when we too apparently believe that everything is contrary to the promises of God. There are slanderous words being flung upon us. And in that situation, the psalmist is led to see that God, my exceeding joy, is the one to whom we must go and in whom is life and comfort. Let me show you first of all that the psalmist is writing out of a very common experience. If we go to verse 1, we see that he tells us about what is going on in his life, and then in verse 2, he tells us what's going on in his soul. We read in verse 1, judge me, or vindicate me. Show me to be true, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. The psalmist has enemies, men who misrepresented him, men who slandered him, men who falsely judged his motives, so that the general opinion was against him. Ungodly folks were making his life miserable, making many problems for him. He was threatened to become obsessed with the need for vindication. He felt that he had to show that he was right. That was his exterior or his outward situation. Verse 2 tells us the inward condition of his soul. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Inwardly, he believes that God has cast him away. And what is very striking about the verse is that we see his heart is divided. The first clause of verse 2 sounds very hopeful. Here he is, feeling the need to be vindicated against his enemies, and he begins his address to God, for thou art the God of my strength. In other words, he has not let God go. He's still saying the right thing, so he begins very positively, but then the very next clause, he complains of being rejected. Why dost thou cast me off? Why have you turned your back upon me? It seems as if thou hast forsaken me, O God. It seems as if you have allowed the enemy to have the upper hand. I am oppressed, I am agitated. I have come many times to thee for relief and vindication. Thou art my strength. Why hast thou cast me away? He has a divided heart. That's a very common experience. He believes on the one hand that God is his strength, at the other hand, he believes that God has forsaken him. There are two things tugging inside of him. I know that thou art my God, my strength, but I feel under this prolonged opposition that thou hast cast me away. I believe the scriptures often bring to us this common experience of the people of God, often in the Psalms. Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. My heart is split. Part of it's going one way, part of it's going the other way. Take hold of my heart and make it one. Also in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, the father of the demon-possessed boy said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. So the psalmist here, he hasn't given up. He hasn't thrown everything away. He hasn't said, forget it, I don't believe in God anymore. No, God's grace has kept him back from that step. But he's struggling with a divided heart. Lord, I know that thou art my strength, but why? Why then? Why do all of these things happen to me? As he cries out of these circumstances, we see in verse 1 that he at first centers in vindication, personal vindication. Vindicate me, O God. That's the word judge. Vindicate. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O, deliver me. Be a lawyer, he is asking God. Set the record straight. Be my own lawyer. Give me a public vindication. Show that I'm right. Elevate me. Take away the opposition. Now, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not necessarily wrong to pray that way. To pray, Lord, deliver me from people who misrepresent. Deliver me from cancer. Deliver me from illness. Deliver me from hurricane. Deliver me from problems. Deliver me from difficulties. But as we read this psalm, the psalmist begins to understand that this is not the main point. If you glance ahead to verses 3 through 5, you'll see that he never comes back to this point of vindication. He begins, vindicate me! But as he draws closer to God, he loses sight of that petition when he sees more important things. Yes, you may ask God, vindicate me from my problems, my woes, and my illness, but that prayer, you see, in itself doesn't require you to be a Christian. There's nothing spiritual in itself about that. In fact, the devil wants that. The devil wants to be vindicated too. Everybody wants that. That's a natural desire. Anyone desperate enough will pray that. Change this. Deliver me. I don't want this anymore. The devil in the world can say that, but what the psalmist says in the next verses, the devil never would. The unbelieving world never will, and a mere outward Christian never does. For as you go ahead in verses 3 and 4, you will see that he speaks to God to lead him, not out of his opposition, but to lead him to God's holy tabernacle. He wants to appear before God, his exceeding joy. And as he considers God in his soul, the important thing comes to him. God, my exceeding joy, that's the important thing. I don't need so much the change of circumstances, but I need thee. The devil doesn't pray like that. Neither do pretentious Christians who go to church merely out of custom. Now, let's go forward and see the very rich prayer that he makes in this psalm, verses 3 and 4, if you have your Bible open to that. This is an amazing and a rich prayer, and it shows us how to pray when we believe that God has forsaken us. And as we enter into the beautiful chamber of this prayer, let's look, first of all, overall. O send out thy light and thy truth. We read, Let them lead me, let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. That prayer reveals much rich spiritual experience with God, the vocabulary, the sequence of thought, the God-centeredness, the intensity, the adoration which oozes from the prayer. It reveals a man who has known God. He has gone very deep with God. He has a deep and rich walk with God. And yet, he could also have a divided heart. And yet, he was just like us. And yet, he could also know moments when he was beside himself. He was obsessed. He was agitated. There's not two men in this psalm. There's one man. The man who begins praying, Lord, set the record straight. And I believe that thou hast forsaken me. Put an end to all of this. And then the same man prays, as he draws closer to God, Send thy light and truth, O God, my God, I will praise thee. Notice, as I said before, that as he enters into the heart of his prayer in verses 3 and 4, there's not even a whiff of any desire of personal vindication anymore. As I said, if you want to pray for the vindication of the truth in your life, that's okay. But that's still not the main issue. Being proven right at work, being proven right in your marriage squabble, defeating cancer, overcoming heart disease, delivered from Katrina. Yes, pray about that. But where is your exceeding joy? Being shown right or loving God? Beating cancer or knowing God? The devil wants to get well too. He wants to escape what's coming against him. Unbelievers want to be proven right. The world wants to beat cancer. Unbelieving couples want to overcome low income, move into bigger homes, have a boat. That's not the main issue. We are all going to die. What will you have then? The psalmist says, God, my exceeding joy. O God, my God, do you know something about that? And 20 years, how many who are listening will be dead? The main issue in your life is not vindication, it's not health, it's not what other people are saying about you today. The main issue in your life is not your figure and what it looks like. The main issue is not what you got or what you don't have. The main issue is God. Who is God to you? Now let's look for a few moments at some of the details of this beautiful prayer. It stands out in three stages. Number one, he begins, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. He is asking for God's word to shine into his heart. He needs God's light because he is in the dark. He is asking that the power of God's word and truth vitalize his heart. He's looking around. He doesn't see God. He's taken refuge in God. Thou art my strength. But he's in the dark. He knows that God is a refuge and a rock, but he doesn't feel that. He feels the opposition of the enemy. And so he asks, Lord, send thy clear, revigorating light, thy fixed truth. Let it sink into the walls of my heart. I'm blind to something, Lord. I can't see. I feel that I am rejected. Lord, open the eyes of my heart, not my physical eyes, but the eyes of my heart, that I might, through thy word, see the riches of thy grace. I know all about that. My head understands all of those things. Perhaps my pastor has come to me this week and said, all things work together for good to them that love God. I know that, but Lord, send forth thy light. Send forth the power of thy word to truly illumine my soul. Send forth thy truth, he says. The truth of the Bible. That truth is real. The doctrines and the promises and the precepts are truth. You can get your hand on it. You can understand it. They're called creeds, confessions of the church. Lord, douse my heart with thy light. Baptize my soul with thy truth. And then he goes on, the second stanza. Let them, that is, let thy word, let thy truth, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then I will go unto the altar of God. He says, God's light, God's truth in the heart pulls me to a place. It's called a holy hill. It's called an altar. It refers to the cross. The altar was placed in the tabernacle and God's holy hill. And what happened on that altar? Blood. Lots and lots of blood. It was all pointing ahead to Christ and Him crucified, the altar on which our sins are washed away and the covenant of God is established and confirmed. That's everything to us. The gospel is the great and only good is the cross of Jesus Christ, that your guilt is purged away on the altar on which His blood was shed. He says, let thy light and truth come, that it might reveal my sin. My sin, even in my prayer for vindication, and let it bring me to the altar of God, to Mount Calvary, where He bled and died for me. And then stanza 3, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise Thee, O God, my God. Bring me, O Lord, to Thee in Christ Jesus, that I might know Thee as my God, the God who is exceeding joy. The final goal of the Christian life is not the forgiveness of sins. That is a means to bring you to God Himself. God is the gospel. God is joy. God is exceeding joy. The word exceeding is joy of my joy, joy of my gladness. He's piling it up. No, he's saying, I cannot really express who God is. Majestic, glorious, lovely. Oh, joy of my joy. God, my exceeding joy. Do you know God? He means that God is His root joy, His core joy. All other things without God are utterly empty. All joy without God is bubble joy. It's burst on the first sharp thing joy. It's floating away like a little bubble joy. But God is the joy of my joy, the center of all truth. All other joys, good meal, food, home, car, friends, money, fishing, booze, is that the root of your joy? That's a hollow joy. No, it's worse than that. It's an addicting joy, and it's going to leave you gutted. It's going to leave you empty. Not God. Oh God, my joy of my joy, strip away all from me, and you've not taken away my joy, says the psalmist. I will go to thy altar. Oh God, my exceeding joy, how precious is my God. Here is the man of God now. He's been brought to prayer before God. He's surrounded by enemies. He's beleaguered. He's prayed, send forth thy light and thy truth. Bring me to the altar of Mount Calvary to see the forgiveness of my sins. And now I am brought before the issue of life, God. God who is in Himself everything and therefore is everything to me. The issue in your life today is not your health. It's not your job. It's not your IRA, it's not the rumors that are floating around about you, it's not do you have enough money, it's not how you look, it's not how your house is or if it needs repair, it's not the state of the furniture, it's not whether you have a boat, the issue is God. Do you know God? For if you do not, you have nothing. But if you have God through Jesus Christ by amazing grace, then you have joy of joy. The psalmist goes on to say, I will praise Thee upon the harp, bring out the most sweet, the most celestial instruments, and I will enjoy God, and I will praise Him. But you say to me, okay, but I'm still troubled. All you said is true, Pastor. That's God's word. Can't argue with that. But If you read verse 5, you see that the psalmist was ready with his but too. He leaped very high in prayer. He confessed that God was his exceeding joy, but his feet start coming back down to the reality of life, to those enemies, to the slander, and to the woe, and to the problem. But then he takes himself to task. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." He's been talking to God. But now, after he has been in prayer, he comes back to talk to himself and to speak to his soul in behalf of God. He is talking to himself. He is talking to his soul back and forth. The soul says, "I'm disquieted. I don't like this." And he speaks to his soul, and he says, "Why? Why are you disquieted? Hope in God." The man is preaching to himself. Did you know you can preach to yourself? You can preach the gospel, the whole gospel. You can preach it to yourself every day. Don't be easy with yourself. Don't pamper yourself. Counsel yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself. Shall we do that? As those who confess the altar of God as our exceeding joy, as the power of our salvation, shall we do that? Shall we counsel ourselves? Shall we confess that God himself, is exceeding joy? Soul of mine, you are burdened with forebodings today. You are stewing in the injustice of it all. Soul, you feel disquieted. You can't seem to rest. You are driven. Soul, you are feeling sorry for yourself. You imagine there is no friend for you. Why? Why? Is God dead? Has God left his heaven? Has God abdicated his throne? Has God laid down the reins of his sovereignty? Did Jesus Christ die upon Mount Calvary? Did God, in sovereign love, give you Jesus Christ to bear your curse, to wash away your sins? Having done so, will God now change? Will he go back? Will he? Hope in God. Rely upon God. Depend upon God. Cast yourself by a living faith into the almighty arms of the living God. Soul, stop. Stop it. Look to the cross. Send forth thy light and thy truth. Do you see it? Look to God. Oh, my God, joy of all joys. He has not cast you away, child of God. Rest in hope. This is the issue of your life. The most important thing is not vindicate me. Here's the most important thing. O God, my God, give me to know thee. Give me to love thee. Give me to serve thee. Give me to glorify thee. Give me to rejoice in thee. O joy of my joy. Let's pray. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word, and pray that thou wilt write it upon the walls of our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.